It's that time again. Gather round in a semicircle and sit on the floor with your listening ears on. Cupcakes and milk will be next, but now it's time for stories with Lady Ariella in the playroom. Hello, my sweet little pets. Are you ready for today's story from the Brothers Grimm? Well, today our story is The Devil's Three Gold Hairs.
Is it hairs like on your head or hairs like rabbits?
Oh, sweetheart, I'd love to tell you, but spoilers. Anyway, our story begins long ago, when a poor woman gave birth to a son, and she was delighted that he had a caul enveloping his head.
What's a caul?
Oh, sweetie. Instead of interrupting me after the first sentence of the story, why don't you go and look it up? There's a big dictionary right over there.
Okay. How do you spell it?
You can look that up, too.
Well, you're looking right at the word.
Anyway, this was a sign of good fortune for the boy, and it was predicted that he would marry the king's daughter when he turned 19.
Who predicted that?
That's a good question. Maybe it was someone who let me tell more than one sentence of the story at a time. So, soon after, the king came to the village, though no one knew it was the king.
Was he in a disguise?
Children, this one isn't the longest story the Brothers Grimm ever wrote, but if I can't get out more than one sentence at a time, it's going to turn out that way. I don't know if he was in disguise. Maybe he was. Does that make you happy? Good. Now, just listen to the story so we can all hear what happens.
A caul is a eminominac membrane surrounding a foetus.
Thank you. Glad we got that cleared up. So the king that no one knew was a king heard about the child and how he was prophesied to be married to the king's daughter. Being a wicked king, he grew angry at this and went to the parents in a friendly manner.
Good people, give your child up to me, and I shall take the greatest care of him. If he is born to be lucky, everything shall turn out the best for him. And I'll offer you a large amount of gold.
So the king placed the child into a box and rode away until he came to deep water, into which he threw the box.
Now I have saved my daughter from an unwelcome suitor.
But the box did not sink, but floated down the river until it had traveled deep into the kingdom, near to the main city, when it came upon a mill and a weir.
What's a weir?
Ahem.
Fine.
Then the miller's man brought the box in with a hook, thinking it could contain something valuable. But he found it contained a baby boy. He brought it to the miller and his wife, who were childless, and they were delighted, for heaven had sent them a gift. They raised him carefully, and he grew to manhood clever and virtuous. Now it so happened that the king was overtaken by a thunderstorm and came to take rest at the mill. He said to the miller,
"Oh, what a fine young boy! Is that your son?"
"No, my lord. He was a foundling who floated down the river in a box and came and stopped in our weir about 19 years ago."
To which the king replied,
"Dam! It's a dam! That's what the weir is."
"Thank you, little one. That will be all."
19 years, you say? Huh. Well, I just happen to remember that I have a message to send the queen. If the boy will carry it for me, I shall give you 2 gold pieces.
"Oh, we're at the king's service."
"Thank you. No, just let me write the letter. Dear Queen, When this message reaches you, please take the young man who brings it and have him killed. Dead. Very dead. Extremely dead. Beheaded. Drawn and quartered. Fed to lions. How many S's in eviscerate?
I think 7, sir.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have asked an illiterate peasant. Anyway, dear, you get the general gist of the idea. Not alive. Can't stress that enough. Yours most royally, the king. Here you go, kind lad. Please take this directly to the queen.
So off he went into the night. Soon, though, he became lost in the woods until he saw a light in the darkness. He went to it and found a house with a woman inside.
Excuse me, I have become lost in the woods on my way to deliver this letter to the queen, and I wish to take shelter here for the night. May I stretch out on this cot?
Oh, ill fortune has met with you, poor boy, for this is a house of robbers. They are out now, but if they return and find you here, they will most likely murder you.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'm so very tired, they may do as they please.
And with that, he stretched out and went to sleep. Soon the robbers returned. And when they saw the boy there, they asked the old woman what he was about.
Oh, this poor lad is delivering a message to the queen herself. He became lost in the woods and came here to this place. He might also be a bit of a narcoleptic, I'm not sure.
So the lead robber went to the sleeping lad and took the letter and read it. And when the robber saw that the boy was going to his death, they were moved with pity.
Would they not kill him anyway?
These are very complex robbers, dearie. So they tore up the message from the king and wrote a new one in its place. Then, the next morning, they fed the boy breakfast, showed him the road to the castle, and sent him on his way. When he arrived at the castle, he delivered the letter to the queen, not knowing it was not the one the king had written.
Now, let's see here. Dear queen, when the bearer of this letter arrives, have the young man married to our daughter at once. Well, I'm convinced. What do you think, daughter?
She showed the young man to the princess, and since he was young and handsome, the princess agreed wholeheartedly.
Hamana, hamana, hamana.
So a great feast was called for, and the queen had the two young people married before the day was out. Soon, though, the king returned. When he learned what had happened, he approached the queen and said,
How can this be? For the instructions I gave in the letter were quite different. They were more stabby, for one thing.
But, darling, I did what you instructed. See? Here is the letter.
Well, I guess I just have to accept the fact that we've been married long enough to have a child of marriageable age, and yet you still have no idea what my handwriting looks like.
So he went to the lad and asked how it had come that the letter had changed. The boy replied,
I know not, unless it changed as I slept in the woods.
Very, very clever, but, know this, no one can marry my daughter unless he first brings me 2 golden hairs from the head of the demon of the Black Forest. If you can do that, you may keep my daughter as your wife, but not otherwise.
But, Daddy, he's cute.
3 golden hairs.
I will fetch these golden hairs very quickly. I am not in the least afraid of the demon."
And so the Child of Fortune said his farewells and started on his travels. His way led to a large city, and when he got to the gate, a watchman asked,
"What trade do you follow, and how much do you know?"
"I know everything,"
the lad replied.
"Did he know what a call was?"
"Will you look at that? It doesn't say. Shocking. Now, where was I? Oh, yes," the watchman then said.
"Then you can do us a favor if you can tell us why our master's fountain, from which wine used to flow, has dried up and never even gives us water now."
"I will tell you when I return. Only wait until then."
And he was okay with that answer? That seems unlikely.
As opposed to the likelihood of the wine fountain? So the boy went on his way and came by and by to another town, where the watchman said to him,
"What trade do you follow, and how much do you know?"
"I know everything."
"I don't think that's true."
Well, it's good to see healthy skepticism while we're reading a fairy tale. Then the guard said,
"Then you can do us a favor and tell us why a tree in our town, which once bore golden apples, now grows only leaves."
"Wait until I return. I will tell you then."
So he went on again and came to a river with a fairy, and the farrier asked the same question.
"What trade do you follow, and how much do you know?"
"I know everything."
"Then you can do me a favor and tell me why I am obliged to go backwards and forwards in my boat every day without a change of any kind."
"Wait till I come back. Then you shall know all about it."
When he had crossed the river, he came to the Black Forest, in which was the Demon's Cove. It was dark and gloomy, and the demon was not at home. But his old mother was, and she looked up from her armchair and said,
"What do you want? You don't look wicked enough to be one of us."
"Well, thank you for that. I just want 3 golden hairs from the demon's head. Otherwise, my wife will be taken from me."
"That is asking a great deal, for if the demon comes home and finds you here, he will have no mercy on you. However, if you trust me, I will try to help you."
And so she turned him into an ant.
"Now creep into the folds of my gown, and there you will be safe."
"Yes, so far so good, but there are 3 things besides that which I want to know. Why a fountain which once flowed with wine has become dry and no longer gives even water. Why a tree which once bore golden apples puts forth only leaves. And why a farrier must always be going backwards and forwards and is never set free."
"Those are difficult questions. And objectively weird, come to think of it. But keep still and quiet and listen to what he says when I pull out his hairs."
When the devil came home, his mother made him supper, and when he had eaten, he complained of being tired. So she told him to lay down with his head in her lap, and he was soon so comfortable he fell asleep. Then the old woman lifted up a hair and twitched it out.
"What did you do that for?"
"I have had a bad dream, and it made me catch up your hair. I dreamt that a fountain in a marketplace from which wine once flowed was dried up, and not even water would flow out of it. What is the cause of it?"
"If they did but know it, there is a toad sitting under a stone in the well. If they killed it, the wine would flow again."
"I don't understand. How does a toad stop wine from flowing?"
Warts?
"What?"
So the old woman combed his hair until he slept once more, and then reached out and pulled out a second hair.
"Yow! What are you on about now?"
"Oh, don't be angry. I have had another dream. I dreamt that in some county there was a tree which used to grow golden apples, but now grows only leaves. What is the cause of this?"
"Oh, that? There is a mouse gnawing on the root. Were it dead, the tree would bear golden fruit again. But no more dreams. If you disturb me again, I shall box your ears."
"Isn't that very nice?"
"No, it certainly isn't, lovey." So anyway, the devil went back to sleep, and soon his mother plucked a third hair from his head. And the devil woke in a great rage, but his mother appeased him this time also.
Can I help my bad dreams? I dreamt of a farrier who complains of being obliged to take people across the river and is never free.
Oh, that fool! If the farrier would only ask someone who wanted to cross the river to take up the oar, that person would have to take up the ferry, and the farrier would be free.
So the devil went back to sleep, and his mother let him rest for the night. In the morning, when the devil had gone out again, she turned the lad back into a man, gave him the three hairs, and sent him on his way.
Did he say thank you?
No, he was a complete ingrate. So he came to the ferry, and after they had crossed the river again, he said,
You have only to place the oar in the hand of the next person to cross. Then you shall be free, and that person shall have to take your place.
Oh. Don't suppose you want another ride across the river?
Not at all, but I admire your gumption.
Then he continued on his way until he came to the town with the tree.
You should kill the mouse that is gnawing at the root. Then your tree will bear golden apples again.
Huh. Thanks for letting us know. Hey, Tom! You still got that tabby cat?
Then in return for this information, they sent him on his way with two asses laden with gold. He went along until he came to the town with the fountain.
Under a stone in the fountain sits a toad. It must be searched for and killed, and then the wine will flow again.
Right! Come on, Fritz. We're going to have frog legs for supper tonight.
It's actually a toad, and that might be poisonous, but you know what? You'll figure it out.
So to show their gratitude, the sentinel ordered two asses laden with gold be sent after him. So the child of fortune returned to his home and found his wife overjoyed at seeing him again.
Honeykins!
Then the king saw the golden hairs and the four asses and said,
Now that you have performed all the required conditions, I am quite ready to sanction your marriage to my daughter. But my dear son-in-law, tell me how you have obtained all this valuable gold.
I crossed the river in a ferry boat, and on the other side I found some gold lying in the sand.
Huh. Can I find some if I go?
Why, as much as you please. There is a farrier who will row you over, and you can fill your sacks in no time at all.
Then the king made his way in all haste, and when he came near the river, he beckoned the farrier over to him. Just as they had crossed to the other side.
Here, hold this.
And the king became a farrier as punishment for his sins. I wonder if he is still ferrying people to this very day. The end. Now, children, did you like this story?
Yay!
I have mixed feelings.
So tell me what you learned from this story. Besides what a call is.
The right way to punish a man for throwing a baby into the river is to make him row a boat.
It's harsh, but fair if you think about it. Anyone else?
A person who raised someone as bad as the devil is completely trustworthy.
Oh, I see you met my sister and nephew. And one more? Nothing else?
Killing toads and mice can make you rich.
What a bright young lad you are, little one. You understand why I put all those sticks by the door. That's our activity for this afternoon. But right now, cupcakes and chocolate milk.
Whee!
Off you pop now. Come along. And you too, little one. This story is over, but we'll be together soon. I'll see you next time in The Playroom.
You've been listening to The Playroom, The Devil's Three Gold Hairs, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. The children's voices were provided by the cast of the Seat of Our Pants Players. The King was Adam Gastenge. The Miller was Rick Tennant. The Lucky Lad was Aaron Manka White. The Old Woman was Jill Wenzel. The queen was Andy Gastengee. The city guards were Andrew Dell and
Morgan Gastengee.
The princess and the farrier were Liz Music. The devil's mother was Rebecca Scheimer. The devil was Ray Greenley. And Lady Ariella was Brianna Kubi. Some music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. The Devil's Three Golden Hairs was written by the Brothers Grimm, and yes, that's pretty much exactly how it goes in the story.